The first reading is from Psalm 46, verses 1 to 7. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading is taken from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, these aren't really normal days that we're living through, are they? It isn't as bad as Anya, our deputy mayor, read out from Psalm 46 with the earth giving way and mountains falling into the sea. But the death of a sovereign, our sovereign, who has reigned for 70 years, has rocked us emotionally. For most of us, there was never a day when she was not ruling. But there are definitely people here who were alive before she was ruling. And for all of us, as far as I can see, there may be an exception here, there was never a day when she was not there. So we felt it so important to mark her death here in Buckingham, in our community. And so we gather, not trying to copy St. Paul's Cathedral or Westminster Abbey, but simply to pay our respects and to mark the death of a truly remarkable woman. Whether or not you are an ardent Republican, I think one has to admire her. She was a symbol of so much that was good, an example of so much that was right. And so we're deeply saddened by her passing, many admitting to shedding a tear even though they'd never even met her in the flesh. Because a constant in our life has now departed. A shining light has gone out. And I wonder how it has left us all feeling. How do you feel as you look to the future with all of its uncertainties and unease? The cost of energy crisis, the climate crisis, pandemics, floods of biblical proportions in Pakistan, global debt, inflation, and the war in Ukraine. Actually, perhaps Psalm 46 is still pretty relevant. And it's a time when many of us look to something bigger than ourselves for help. Research suggests that 75% of people pray, and now is a time to pray, just like Queen Elizabeth used to. We've heard a wonderful eulogy from James about the Queen's life, but what of her faith? Well, I want to let our late Queen be our preacher this morning. On Christmas Day 1952, as the new 26-year-old monarch, she gave her first Christmas address to the world, and in it she said these words, "Pray for me, that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises, and that I may faithfully serve you all the days of my life." We can see that first and foremost, the Queen was a woman of faith in God. A constant refrain in her Christmas messages was how much her faith meant to her. In 2000, she said, "For me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life. I, like so many of you, have drawn great comfort in difficult times from Christ's words and example." Now, the Bible describes faith as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Or to put another way, faith is a reasoning trust, a trust which reckons thoughtfully and confidently upon the trustworthiness of God. I don't need to have faith that this building exists. I can look around, I can see it, I can touch it. But to believe that Jesus was the Son of God does require faith. Doubting Thomas, for example, didn't have it, and he refused to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. So when Jesus appeared to him, and then he believed, Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." And that is many of us here. Jesus understands it is tough to believe in someone you cannot see or touch. But if you want that faith, to be able to believe in something that you hope for but cannot see, you can ask, you can pray, you can speak to God and ask him for the gift of faith. So the Queen, like billions across the globe, made a rational decision to follow Jesus, and in doing so had all the mess in her life dumped upon Jesus' shoulders as he hung on the cross, clearing away all the barriers between her and God. And this is the faith that makes us right with God, and a faith that brings forgiveness as we looked to the finished work of Jesus on his cross. Second, her faith led her to a life of service. The Queen said in another Christmas message, "Jesus Christ lived obscurely for most of his life and never traveled far. He was maligned and rejected by many, though he had done no wrong, and yet billions of people now follow his teaching and find in him the guiding light for their lives. I am one of them because Christ's example helps me see the value of doing small things with great love, whoever does them and whatever they themselves believe." And whilst I'm sure Queen Elizabeth didn't have rough, calloused hands through a life of hard manual labor, one cannot doubt that her life was devoted to serving her people. The number of stories coming out about her acts of kindness, some absolutely hilarious, the way she encouraged and supported people, communities, and indeed whole countries through her visits, are very many indeed. I remember one such act of kindness. This is a complete red herring, but I have been itching to tell this story to anyone who is prepared to listen. I served in the army in the Coldstream Guards for nearly 20 years and so met her on a handful of occasions. And there was a dinner party organized at the officers' mess in St. James's Palace, comprising all the Coldstream officers who had worked for Her Majesty. There's always a Coldstream officer who is one of her equerries. And so they all got together on what we call Queen's Guard. You would know it as changing the guard at Buckingham Palace. They needed a junior officer to carry the regimental colours, the flag. And so I found myself at this dinner party. Everyone's wives were invited for drinks before dinner, but at precisely 7:55 p.m., the mess sergeant comes in to light the candles, and that is the signal for the ladies to leave. I'm sorry, but it was 1983. Things have changed, I know. And they left promptly. And after dinner, the Queen asked me where all the wives had gone. And I told her that they were all having dinner at a restaurant just up St. James's. So she said to me, "It's awful that they are missing out on the party. Please go and tell them that their queen demands their presence. Of course, she knew perfectly well that women were not allowed in the officers' mess after 8 p.m. But who was I to argue? Yes, ma'am. So, escorted by my two armed corporals, in my red tunic and with my sword drawn, because that's what the ensign does when you do the patrol at night around the palaces. That's what you wear, and you have an armed escort. We marched up St. James's Street into the restaurant, at which point, silence. You could have heard a pin drop. The Queen demands your presence at St. James's Palace, I said far too loudly and very theatrically. And so we all walked back, and the Queen welcomed all the wives who had only recently been reunited with their husbands after an operational tour of duty. That was the sort of, this is an example of the sort of person she was. So she had a strong faith and took a deep care and concern for her subjects. But third, her faith filled her with hope. She said this, "The discovery of the risen Christ on the first Easter day gave his followers new hope and fresh purpose. And we can all take heart from this. As dark as death can be, particularly for those suffering with grief, light and life are greater." You see, Christians have this great hope of eternal life. You may think it's pie in the sky when you die, but this is a hope based on the resurrection of Jesus himself. And before I became a Christian, I looked at the stories, I examined the evidence, and I looked at what happened to all those disciples, many of them, most of them, in fact, well, I think almost all of them, willingly being martyred. And I thought, you know what, there's no way I would allow myself to be hung upside down and sawn in half for a lie. So it must have been true. They must have seen the risen Lord Jesus after he was executed. And so I realized that it took more faith not to believe than to believe. And in Prince Harry's tribute, he said this, "Thank you for your infectious smile. We too smile knowing that you and Grandpa are reunited now and both together in peace. We all yearn to believe that death is not the end, that when someone dies, we might see them again. And like Prince Harry, that our loved ones might be reunited. And that is the hope Christians have. And I know that when I die, I won't be having an audience with the Queen, but we'll be both having our audience with the King." So she was a woman of faith, service, and hope. And I know that from where she is now, she would want more than anything for each and every one of us to share in her most precious gift that she ever received, her gift of faith in Jesus Christ, so that we too can have that assurance of forgiveness and eternal life. For as we had read to us, Jesus says to us, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house, that is heaven, has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am." What a comfort and what a hope. Amen.